The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. At that time, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman of that district came and called out, "Have pity on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." He did not say a word in answer to her. And his disciples came and asked him, "Send her away, for she keeps calling out after us." And he said in reply, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But the woman came and did him homage, saying, "Lord, help me." And he said in reply, "It is not right to take the food of the children and throw it to the dogs." But she said, "Please, Lord, even the dogs eat the scraps that fall from the table of the master." Jesus said to her in reply, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. The Gospel of the Lord. One or two comments about this gospel. It's very interesting. It happens in Tyre and Sidon, which is in present-day Lebanon. So the last event in Matthew's gospel, feeding of the multitude, the calming of the waters, all around the Sea of Galilee. And now he goes into foreign territory. It's actually a long way from the Sea of Galilee, up to Tyre. Sidon is about 20 miles north of Tyre, but it's about a 40-mile walk. So he's gone way into foreign territory here. He's gone away from the land of the people of Israel. And therefore, the Phoenician woman, this Syro-Phoenician woman who meets him here, she's a foreigner. And part of the teaching that Matthew wants to emphasize here is that while Jesus primarily was sent to the house of Israel, to the people of Israel, salvation comes to us through the people of Israel. At the same time, Matthew wants to show Jesus includes outsiders. This is the woman from Syrophoenicia. In a way, it kind of reflects in the present day, the fact that we shut people out and you don't qualify and things like that. But there's a place for everybody in the heart and the mind and the kingdom of Jesus Christ. However, there's one phrase in here that caused commentators a lot of trouble. And that is when Jesus said to her, "It is not right to give the food of the children to the dogs." Now, that's a harsh saying, and it wouldn't become us to overlook that and not to make some comment about it. I've read many commentaries to try to figure out what is this. Most of the commentaries just ignore it because they can't quite deal with it. Barclay, this scholar, he says that it depends on how you say that, he said, the tone of voice. And if it's said in the proper tone of voice, in a kind of a maybe half humorous way, it doesn't sound too bad. Not so appealing. Fitzmaier, the scholar, he says that it's a cultural thing, and it would have been familiar to those at that time in a manner in which it wouldn't appeal to us. Well, none of these things really do much for me in trying to understand the harshness of this saying coming from Jesus. The only way what I can interpret this is to look at life situation. When you read the scriptures, you must keep in mind there is no one phrase which is inspired. There is no one book which is inspired. It's the whole Bible which is inspired. So you can't lift a phrase from the Bible and say, this is the teaching which is revealed in the Word of God. It doesn't work that way. You have to integrate that into a much larger tapestry of understanding. Any one of us can take a phrase from the Bible and say, this is what it means, you belong, you don't belong, you qualify. We can always take a phrase, but the phrase is not inspired. It's the whole Bible that's inspired. And if you want to understand the teaching of Jesus, you can't take a phrase and say, this is the manner in which Jesus taught. You have to integrate this into a much larger tapestry of understanding. Now, when you do that, when you weave this into the teaching of Jesus, you can see that it's certainly not a dominant part of the teaching and the action of Jesus. And therefore, I'll just soften it right into a much larger context and let it rest there. Because when I pick it out by itself and look at the commentaries and see what they said precisely about this phrase, I can't find anything that would quite satisfy me in understanding Jesus saying something harsh in this manner. So I'll just weave it into something larger, and after that, I'll kind of ignore it. It's not the best scholarship when you look at exegesis, but it's the only way in which I can begin to reconcile this with the kindness and the infinite love and the welcoming and the gift of life that Jesus shares so generously. So it's a mistake to just bury it and ignore it. I think we should look at it. But then you have to understand it as it belongs to a much, much longer story. And when it does, you allow the story to teach, not the one phrase. Okay. I should mention it here because, you know, we can ignore it and then you kind of say, well, it must have some place in here. One commentator says, it's Matthew, it's the Jewish Gospel of Matthew, but that doesn't fit because this also appears in the Gospel of Mark. And Matthew drew his Gospel from the original Mark. Mark is the earliest Gospel. I know our Bible has Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but actually Mark was earlier than Matthew. So Matthew drew this remembrance from the text of Mark's Gospel. Anyway, I'm going to retire it and say I'm going to concentrate on the larger understanding of the teaching of Jesus. And that's to be seen in the manner in which he welcomes and does a miracle for this person who is considered an outsider. There is room for everyone in the kingdom of God. We pause now for a moment of prayer.